The focus of Rex Tillerson's young life was scouting, and he diligently pursued the public service and other tasks required to earn his Eagle Scout rank. In 1970, he left Huntsville to enroll at the University of Texas at Austin. He was, by his own account, a slightly above-average civil engineering student. He evaded the city's blossoming music counterculture and served instead as a bass drummer in the Longhorn Marching Band. He joined Kappa Kappa Psi, which was less a fraternity than a service organization within the university band. It nonetheless had an initiation ritual in which new recruits would be taken on a ride. The euphemism described a rule-constrained kidnapping regimen. During a prescribed window of time, fraternity pledges could be seized unexpectedly, often in the middle of the night, bundled into a car or truck, driven into the countryside, often stripped of all clothing, and abandoned. A mercy rule required the kidnappers to provide each victim with at least a dime to make a phone call. Another rule required that victims be kidnapped in pairs, so no one would be abandoned alone. Faith and free enterprise also influenced Tillerson. He later listed his favorite book as Atlas Shrugged, Ayn Rand's 1957 philosophical novel that became a touchstone for diverse conservatives, libertarians, and advocates for unfettered capitalism. Exxon recruited him when he was a senior at UT. He had offers from two corporations and turned down a higher salary to work for the Standard Oil successor. His intuition that he would fit in proved correct. Tillerson worked initially in South Texas and passed successfully through the corporation's vetting for potential managers and leaders. After that, he began the typical 18-month rotations and reassignments that Exxon employed to groom future executives. About 2 years out of college, Tillerson married a Huntsville High bandmate, Jamie Lee Henry. They soon had twin boys. As Tillerson's career took off, however, his marriage fell apart. By 1983, Jamie Lee had returned to Huntsville with the twins, and Rex had married a divorced mother of one, Renda House. In 1988, Rex and Renda had their own child, another son. They shared a passion for horses and settled eventually in Argyle, Texas, away from the Dallas social scene and closer to Fort Worth. Renda was an effusive cowgirl, a barrel racer at rodeos. She continued to race competitively well into middle age. The Tillersons became leaders and intimate members of the Texas barrel racing community. They also became active in Fort Worth's world of cutting horses and attended auctions to bid tens of thousands of dollars for seasoned competitors. They bought a ranch in KMA, about a dozen miles south of Wichita Falls. They called it Bar RR Ranches for Rex and Renda. As Tillerson rose into ExxonMobil's management committee and enjoyed more and more of the wealth and privilege that came with success at the corporation, they also purchased a $2.5 million lake house in the Hill Country, outside of Austin. Texas was his world. Nothing but the demands of business travel could persuade him to leave. Renda served on the board of the National Cowgirl Museum, and the couple gave generously to Republican office seekers in the state, often to middle-of-the-road conservatives, such as Kay Bailey Hutchison, as well as to Rex's alma mater in Austin. Increasingly, Tillerson gave over much of his extracurricular charity work to the Boy Scouts of America. He served on the boards of the Dallas chapter and the national organization. Tillerson had never lived outside the United States. Even when working closely on the Russian operations, he had been based in Houston. And he had never served on the board of a global corporation, as Raymond had done at J.P. Morgan. If his emphasis on scouting seemed parochial to some within ExxonMobil, Tillerson seemed to regard it as a constructive, universal moral and management system. Within ExxonMobil, he implemented a program of medals or coins for outstanding performance that employees understood to be modeled on the Boy Scouts' merit badge program. Employees with exceptional ability or motivation could meet certain criteria and obtain a full collection of ExxonMobil medals, which were minted in the style of the coins handed out to troops by military commanders. There was a medal available for team leadership, another for teamwork, one for safety performance, and one for technical excellence, which was particularly difficult to obtain. Even managers who laughed and scoffed ironically at Tillerson's merit badge-inspired regime competed to complete their collection, either because they were naturally competitive and couldn't help themselves, or because they thought it would enhance their career prospects. Tillerson asked Ken Cohen to remain in his role overseeing all public policy and outside communication strategies. The decision to keep Cohen in place spoke to the consensus at the top of the company that ExxonMobil had no profound public affairs crisis to solve, only a need to change the tone of its messaging. Tillerson did recognize that ExxonMobil had backed itself into a corner on the climate question, and that the arrival of a new chief executive presented an opportunity to chart some sort of new direction. At a minimum, in the way the corporation characterized climate change, and perhaps in its lobbying and advocacy positions as well. Yet he viscerally resisted concessions to the corporation's campaigning opponents. The message he heard from environmentalists as he came to power at ExxonMobil was, he said, "Get in line. You're out of line right now. Get in line." Instinctively, he refused. Privately, he ordered a review of the issues. During 2006, he formed a small interdisciplinary group at headquarters, of which Ken Cohen was a member, to review ExxonMobil's climate policy, think tank funding, and public affairs strategy. The group included economists, scientists, and corporate planners. They intensively analyzed alternatives to the climate policy positions ExxonMobil had articulated and supported under Lee Raymond. One manager who participated saw the exercise as an effort by Tillerson to carefully reset the corporation's profile on climate positions so that it would be more sustainable and less exposed. The review, conducted in secret and rolled out only to selected executives upon completion, included a case-by-case evaluation of think tanks and advocacy organizations funded by ExxonMobil and active on climate issues. The committee's work was deliberate. It would be late 2006 before it produced firm conclusions about how to gradually unveil a modified position on both the validity of climate science and the implications of that science for public policy. "We just looked at it," said another participant. "We took each option and said, okay, and analyzed each one." ExxonMobil was well known in the oil industry for passing on an oil field auction if the timeline did not align with its by-the-book evaluation process. The same was true for public policy questions.